our target market is the market between the low end and the medium to high end market. So that particular property was sitting between the medium to high end market, in Kevington Park in Bashley. So we had built 2-bedroom, 18 units, and it took us 6 months to fill that place. And once we lose a tenant, it took us an additional 2 months to replace that tenant. So for me and you as investors in property, that is loss of revenue, right? So, but because property itself, it's a hedge on its own. So when the rental market is declining, so that means that the sales market has picked up, so you can always sell. When the sales market is declining and the sales price are declining, that means that the rental prices are going up. So you can always either sell or rent out to clients. So as a result, we looked at an opportunity to sell, and we got sectional titles into the property. And we sold that, and we made a return on investment of over 300%. So it was good return for us.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast, where we unpack all things property and finance related. So when you're looking for your next property investment, the township might not be the first place that you think about. Today's guest tells us more about how micro property developments could transform townships in a big way.
All right. My name is Lebogang Lebepe. I am 28 years old, turning 29 this year. I am married to one wife, and I have one son, one child, which is my son. He's only 6 months old. Professionally, I'm a business accountant. I hold 4 qualifications. The highest is an honors in taxation. And I only lasted 5 minutes in the corporate world. I started this house in 2017. And this house is a property development and investment company. So I'm the founder and CEO of Best House. I grew up in Tembisa at a squatter camp called Emma de la Wofa, arguably the most poverty-stricken part of Tembisa. I was raised by a single parent. I'm the first born of 3 from my mother's side. I think in a nutshell, that's who I am.
So can you please tell us more about your business? What inspired you to start this company, and what problem are you trying to solve?
All right. So at this house, we're solving 2 problems, right? So the first problem that we're solving is an accommodation problem. And then the second problem that we're solving, it's an access into property investment, particularly property development market. So what do I mean by accommodation problem? I mean, what are your options when you are in the township? It's either you stay in a back room or you go stay at home. That's if you have a home. So if you're like me, you grew up in a squatter camp, so you didn't have a home. So you're forced to either stay in a back room, or you're forced to go look for an alternative accommodation outside the township. So affluent areas, which, it comes at a premium. And the statistics, they tell us that more than 75% of the population of South Africa, they earn less than 15,000 rand per household. So that also obviously put off a lot of people. They can't really afford to stay in these affluent areas, but they're looking for a secured, comfortable, dignified space for them to live in. So as a result, we then came in as Best House. We are bridging the gap between the low end market and the medium to high end market by bringing lifestyle living apartments in and around townships and making it very, very affordable for our people. So that's the first problem that we're solving. And then the second problem is access into property investment market. I mean, property development in particular is a very capital intensive space. So as a result, a lot of people, they can't really afford to venture into property development, and it's highly regulated as well. And it has, there's a lot of professional fees that goes into that before you can even start building itself. So as a result, we then saw it fit to do our developments. We do them as crowdfunded. So we crowdfund our developments, and then people get to own fractional ownership into our developments. So that's how we're breaking the barrier to entry into property investment, particularly property development.
So tell me more about your properties. Let's say I'm looking to rent. So what's the price range like? What kind of properties are they? And also, where are the properties?
So we have most of our units are bachelor units, and we charge, so it's modern finishes, and when we charge about 2.5 for rent. So that is very affordable for about 32 square meter apartment, which is actually almost three times the size of a standard bedroom in the township. So we are, so far we've only developed in Gauteng. We don't have anything outside Gauteng yet, but we have a plan to go nationwide and ultimately maybe even cater for the whole Africa, because this is an African program. So we need to provide African solution. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I really like that. I like that idea. So can you just tell me more about how it works for investors? So let's say I have a little bit of money saved and I want to invest in BizHouse. So how does that work?
So how it works is, we obviously the first thing that we do is we buy more land than we develop, right? So once we've bought the land, then we prepare it for development. So once we've prepared it for development, we package it and we cost it. And then we lock in prices with our suppliers. So once we've locked in the prices, so we know exactly how much it's going to cost us, and we put in a bit of a contingency fee there to ensure that we don't go over the budget. And then once that it's done, and then we can now invite our stakeholders, investors to come and, invest with us. And then we give them, depending what type of investors are they short-term investors, medium-term investors, or long-term investors? So long-term investors, they get a fractional ownership into the development itself. So they will own shares in that particular development that they've invested in. Let's say, for instance, they invest R1 million in a R10 million project. So that means that they own 10% of the development itself, and then they're entitled to both the rental income, 10% of the net rental income, plus the capital growth that comes with that particular development itself.
So for somebody who doesn't understand what fractional ownership means, can you please explain a bit about that? And also, let's say I do want to invest, how much money do I need to get started?
So first thing first, property fractional ownership, it simply means the joint ownership of that particular property by more than one person or entities. So it's you acquiring a piece of the property itself without having the required amount to purchase the entire asset. So that, you are purchasing a fraction of the property at the fraction of the cost. And then as a result, you share the risk, and then there's less labor on your side, because we do all the work. So there's no management responsibilities on your side. We also, provide you with pure passive income. We do all the work on your behalf. So we source the deals, we negotiate for them, we buy them, and then we develop the property. Then once it's completed, we then lease it out to tenants. Once it's leased out, we collect rent on your behalf, and all you get is the net rental income, which is passive income, for life, if you're a long-term investor. And that, it's on itself, it gives you access into, better investment opportunities. I mean, individually, you have limited resources, but if we combine our resources together, we have more resources that we can use to access better investment opportunities that ultimately gives us better returns. And so that's that in a nutshell, that is a fractional ownership. So you are just, paying a fraction of the cost for a fraction of the ownership of that particular property. And you get to also benefit a fraction of a bigger pie. as opposed to you doing it on your own. And we have broken the barrier to entry to, people can invest from as little as 50,000 rand as a lump sum, then they can invest in and be part of our investment property.
Yeah, so you just mentioned township properties. So what I've heard, I've never actually tried to purchase one, but I've heard that it's very difficult to get funding for a township property. So do you have any tips on how to work around that since you have so much experience?
So the bank will look at a number of things, right? So when they look at the property itself, so they have, so for instance, the old four-room houses in the townships, the reason why the banks, they don't finance them, it's because they don't have an inside toilet inside the house. So, and yes, no, that's not the only reason. The other reason is most of these properties in townships, they have what you call unauthorized structures, which is, in a nutshell, it's backrooms. So they have built backrooms. Backrooms, remember, most of these people, they built these backrooms. They don't even have plans, let alone approved building plans. So with that, it is illegal to build backrooms. And so that's why the bank, they don't want to get involved if you are buying a property that has backrooms. So that's why they don't finance it. So it's not that the banks, they don't finance their properties in the township. It's just that they want to finance the ones that are, that have building plans and approved building plans in place.
You know, I'm actually learning a lot because I just never thought of township properties as an option for investing. So I'm really learning a lot. But I do want to know, what are some pros and cons? Like, what have you learned? And what should people be aware of when choosing to invest in a township property?
So what I've learned so far is that you need to do your due diligence when it comes to your property in the township. I'll give you an example with one of our properties that we have. So we bought this property from this individual that has a title deed, right? So obviously that is a proof of ownership. The only proof of ownership that we know is a title deed, right? Yeah, but only to learn later on when we were about to transfer the property into the company's name, we've only learned that there's not now another third party that is actually claiming ownership into this particular land. So upon investigation further, so we learned that so this guy, his father bought a property from municipality, right? But he never took transfer. So he paid about, in the early 2000s, he paid about 67,000 for this particular piece of land. But he never took transfer of it. And then in 2014, now again, so this gentleman now bought this particular property. So once he buys this particular property, he took transfer of the property. So now this gentleman now also claims ownership over the land. And now we've bought the property from this guy. So as a result of that now it is supposed to go to court. The court must decide what must happen. And we then, so the municipality need to account to say, okay, cool, this is what transpired. This is why did they sell the same property to two different people? And give ownership to one. And so they need to either refund the other or allocate another piece of land to the other gentleman. So it's that dilemma that we're actually still undergoing through the very same challenge as we speak. So that's the one challenge that you actually need. You need to really do your due diligence when it comes to you buying properties in the townships. Another one is now when you're buying now the actual properties now where they've inherited it from parents, for instance. So you meet this one one person that is selling the property, and they have probably it's still sitting on the estate of the late person. So it's unwinded. So sometimes these guys, they don't declare all the other parties or siblings that are existing in terms of this project.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing that, because that is a common issue that happens with properties. So you buy a property and turns out there's family drama, people are refusing to move out, and there's stuff like that. So these kind of things are common, and I'm glad that you raised that topic. But yeah, speaking about the future, I heard that you're hosting an event in partnership with NetBank. Can you tell us more about that?
So we have collaborated with NetBank to bring an event that will teach people, that are looking for, banking services, people that want to invest in property, what types of funding is available for property investors, what other opportunities are available in the market when it comes to the property investment itself. We're going to teach people where to go to when they are looking for, funding, for instance, funding opportunities for their businesses or property investment, how to enter the property market at a fraction of the cost, banking support that is available from the bank. So the reason why we've also brought NetBank into this is to, clarify the myth that really exists out there in terms of, why are they not funding certain property investments? These demographics, certain bank properties, or what kind of requirements do they require for them to be able to fund you? So that's why we are bringing them on board to say, look, this is the support that the banks are willing to give us money, right? Because the banks, the sole purpose of the bank is to lend money. That's how they make money. Remember, they deposit 100 rand at the Reserve Bank, and then they can loan out about 10,000 rand to you at an interest rate. And that's how they're able to print money digitally. That's why they are always willing to give you money, but they need a good reason for them to be able to do so. So that's why we're bringing them on board to be able to empower people and teach them how to access this funding and to grow their businesses and get the banking support that they really deserve. Because a lot of people, for instance, they are private bankers, but they never use their private banking services. So they don't even know what kind of service they're entitled to. So that's why we on board. So that's why we are doing this investment masterclass seminar that is going to be happening on the 12th of June, which is next week, Saturday, at the Horton Hotel in Sandton. So that's what we're going to be unpacking to people. And the ticket, we've made it very affordable for people to be able to access this. It's just 250 rands per person, and it includes lunch. If you were to go to the Horton Hotel yourself and go have lunch, you're probably going to be paying around 500 rand by yourself. Yeah, so that we're making it very affordable. So we're subsidizing that for people to be able to access this information.
So Labakang, what one tip or piece of advice do you have for somebody who's investing in property for the first time? So what's one thing that you wish somebody told you from day one?
Yeah, so it is expensive for you to buy. When you pass on, it's expensive for you to now pass on your assets, because there's now all these other costs that are involved, executor fees, things like your capital gains, things like your donation tax, and so there's all these other transfer costs that exist once they now do the actual transfers. when you are now passed on. So estate duties that needs to be paid as well. So it is it becomes more expensive when you've passed on, when you are now buying assets, when you've left a lot of assets under your name. So because I would always advise you to put it under your company or under a trust or both. And then your assets are now, let's say the company's shares are now owned by the trust itself. So you, when you pass on, you don't own anything. So basically there's no charges to your estate. Your estate is sitting at zero, so there's nothing to unwind there. So as a result, the company doesn't die with you. The company will continue to live for as long as it's not liquidated. And then even the trust doesn't die unless it's been dissolved. So I'll always say, look, always buy in the company's name or under the trust or under both. Then you ensure that you cede your shares to the trust, and the trust will continue, you know, to outlive you. Then you can have your trust deed, of which you can actually control what's going to happen to your assets, you know, generation after generation.
So if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they find you and your company, BizHouse?
So we are on social media as BizHouse. I'm also on social media as Lebogang Lebepe. And our contact details, we also have a website, BizHouse. BizHouse spelled BIZZHOUSE.co.za. And email, it's info@bizhouse.co.za. Our WhatsApp line is 067-881-4429. And then our landline is 087-820-4085.
Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website, www.unpack.co.za, to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.